There's a great story about a little boy, and like a lot of little boys, he just loved to play ball. And one day he grabs his baseball bat, puts his cap on, and grabs a ball, and he heads out into the field. And so he walks out in the middle, and with all of his might, he takes a look at that ball, and he throws that ball up in the air, and with all of his might, as he starts to swing that bat, he yells out, "I am the greatest batter in the world." And then he swings, and he misses, right? So he kind of looks at his bat again to kind of inspect it, make sure, you know, that it's all good. And he picks up the ball again, and so he tries it again. And he throws that ball way up in the air, and he grabs that bat, and he swings with all his might, and he yells out, "I am the greatest batter in the world!" And he swings, strike two. So he's kind of getting a little frustrated, so he sets the bat down and spits on his hands and rubs it together, grabs the ball again and grabs the bat, throws the ball even higher, grabs the bat and starts to swing, and he swings, strike three, and he proclaims to himself really loud, "I am the greatest pitcher in the world." So I don't know if for you, if 2017, well, if you were the batter or the pitcher, or which way things worked out for you, but it's been a wild year, hasn't it? I mean, there's just been so much that has gone on, and it feels like things just keep speeding up. I was talking to several people this morning, and we're just like, weren't we just here? I mean, wasn't it just like a year ago that we were doing all these things, putting the ornaments back in the boxes and, you know, consolidating all the Christmas goodies and doing all those things, and, you know, we were just kind of at this place. And it just seems like time continues to move, and things are changing so rapidly in our world and in our culture. I mean, when you think about just all the changes on the political scenes, and whether you like them or don't like them, there's change that is happening. And as people, we don't always, you know, some of us, we don't always like change, but change is not only inevitable, change is necessary. And especially those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, we should really be people who grab onto and love and get used to change, because we have a God who is in the change business. Amen? I mean, God wants to change everything. I mean, we had a world that because of sinfulness went in a direction that God did not intend, and God sent His only Son to help us change direction. And maybe that's why somehow deep down inside of us, there's kind of this desire at the beginning of every year to make a resolution, right? Because we know that things ought to be different than they are. And so there's something inside of us that knows that it should be different. And so we try to make these resolutions, and we try to say, hey, this is what is going to, you know, this is what I want to see happen for this next year. And if there's anybody who really understood the power of change, the power of coming face to face with Jesus Christ, if there's anybody who really ever understood that, it was the Apostle Paul, right? I mean, this guy was out just torturing, killing Christians until on one day on the road to Damascus to go and to persecute more Christians, he met Jesus face to face. And in that moment, everything changed. And I want to listen as we start a new year, just listen to, I'm going to give you a couple verses, and don't want to talk long about it, but a couple verses that Paul wrote that I think are really powerful for us as we head into a new year. He says this in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, he says this, "Not that I have already attained all of this, or have already arrived at my goal." How many of you guys had goals last year you didn't make it to? Anybody have a resolution you didn't quite make? Yeah. So we know that feeling of, you know, we're not quite there yet, right? He says, "But I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me." So that's a big question for us. In this last year, have you allowed Christ Jesus to really take hold of you? I mean, have you allowed Him? You know, one of the fun things we were doing, we got a chance to get away as a family, and it was fun to watch our little grandson, Carter. And what's really fun is that if you take off running, he'll chase you. And it's kind of fun. But one of the things that you have to do, you have to remember is, if he's chasing, you've got to remember to slow down, right? And if you slow down a little bit, he will catch you, right? Now, God, who could outrun any of us, okay, at any time he wanted to, isn't it great to know we have a God who kind of slows down so we can catch him? And the question is are you still chasing after him? And are you trying to lay hold? Are you trying to hold on to who he is? And are you chasing after him this year? Paul goes on, he says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, and this is the important part, I think, for this next year. He says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And so a couple things that he talks about in there. Number one is forgetting what is behind. Maybe some of you have had a difficult year. Maybe some of you have just recently come to know Christ. And one of the things that Paul reminds us to do is forget our former way of life. Forget the things that drag us down. Forget those things in our life that could be burdensome. And let those things go. Let that stuff go. I mean, because some of the stuff behind us, it just wants to drag us down. Okay? And a lot of those things, we can't focus on just all those things of the past. Sometimes, unfortunately, even if you had a good year, if all you do is focus on what happened last year and don't keep looking ahead, then you're not going to get very much further. You know, and we can't just look at the bad things that happen and let those get us down. In fact, and maybe you've heard this before, but who would you consider the greatest batter of all time? Okay, I've got some Ty Cobbs. I've got Babe Ruth. Certainly is one that a lot of people look to. Did you know that Babe Ruth, even though for a lot of years was the home run champion or whatever, he struck out 1,330 times in his career. Okay, yet every single time he said, "I get up and I swing for the fences." Okay, but he struck out more times than he hit home runs. There was a commercial not too long ago, and there was a voice. It was kind of a black thing. It was a Nike commercial, and the screen was kind of black, and there was this voice kind of behind the advertisement. And the voice said this, said, "I've missed over 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost 300 games. 26 times I was looked upon to take the winning shot, and I missed." And then the screen pans out to Michael Jordan, okay? I mean, and he said, for him, it's the thrill of the next shot, right? The thrill of the next shot. And there's people like R.H. Macy, Christmas time, shopping centers are all the rage. And last year, we got to go and see the Macy's in New York City. Do you know that he tried 7 different business ventures that all went bankrupt before he founded Macy's? But he pressed on. And sometimes, we need to press on throughout adversity. And oftentimes, I think, folks, we got to let go. We got to let go of some of the sin that entangles us. Because some of us are living still under the burdens of sins that have already been forgiven. And so forget what is behind. If you have repented and confessed sin, let go. I can't tell you how many people I talked to this year that are still dealing with sin in their lives. And they're dealing with it because, you know why? Because they keep bringing it up. And one of the things I keep telling them is this, is God keeps no record of wrongs, right? And so if you've asked for forgiveness, then God is saying, hey, move on. Forget what is behind, strain towards what is ahead. And what's it look like to strain towards what is ahead? I was reading something this last week that says that 90% of people who profess to be Christians that they desire to please God in every area of their lives. I don't know what the other 10% are doing, okay? But I would imagine that most of you as followers of Jesus would say, yeah, I want to please God in everything that I do. But out of the 90%, what was interesting is that only 19% of those people said that they read God's word daily. And folks, one of the crises we have in Christendom is that people just are not saturating their lives with God's word. If we say that we want to live lives that please him, then we're going to have great, healthy doses of his word inside of us on a daily basis for us to make that possible. Because guess what? We don't have the strength to pull it off, do we? The strength is his. And so we need his word to permeate our lives. And the sad truth is that there's a lot of churchgoers that aren't regularly in God's Word. One of the things, how many of you will watch the Rose Parade tomorrow morning? Okay, yeah, get the pajamas on, right? Have some coffee, watch the Rose Parade. It's kind of the family tradition. I heard a great story. Back in the 1940s, when the Rose Parade was still early on, one of the beautiful floats came turning around the corner, and all of a sudden, it started to sputter and sputter, and next thing you know, it ran out of gas. Okay, clogged the whole parade route. What was really ironic is that it was the float for Standard Oil Company. Okay, yeah. So, we as Christians, we have access. We have access to everything that God has available to us. But if we don't get into God's Word on a daily basis, then we're going to lose our power. Okay? And unfortunately, I meet a lot of Christians, okay, who say that they want to follow Jesus, but they're just not willing to jump in and get into God's Word on a daily basis. And so we need to strain ahead. The question, you know, most, I was reading a couple articles about all of the resolutions that people will have for the new year. You know, and a large majority of those things have to do with, you know, like physical health, like getting in shape, you know, losing weight, doing all, eating better, all these kinds of things, maybe time management, things like that. And those are all good things, but here's a question. What kinds of things are you doing to make sure that you are straining forward to grow spiritually in your life? And will you make that a top priority for 2018? To make sure that you are pressing forward in your own spiritual growth. Make spiritual growth your top priority in 2018, and God will make sure that He adds the rest. And then the last thing in this verse, he says, I press on to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. Here at Newbury Park First Christian Church, many of you hear us say this all the time, our goal, our mission, our purpose is to help create fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ who are seeking and saving the lost. Okay, and so that is our desire. And my prayer for you is that you individually will carry out what is kind of our strategy. And the first thing is this, is we aim to help people encounter God, build community, and extend compassion. So the question for you is, how are you going to encounter God this year? You know, there are so many ways to encounter God. My prayer is that you'll be in His Word daily. We've already, we keep having to buy these things, which is awesome. For you, if you have struggled to read the Bible on a regular basis, or if you've never, you know, made it all the way through, maybe you started even last year and said, I'm going to read through the Bible, and then, you know, then Leviticus happened, right? And then you're like, oh no. But we've got this, it's a little, all this is, it's the Bible, it's a tool, it's called the Daily Bible. It tells you what to read every day, okay? And you just jump in and you read it every day, and if you read through this, then you will get through the entire story of the Bible in this year. And I just want to encourage you, if you don't have a plan already, then get a plan, and this is a good one. And so we've got some more of those that are available over here, and I pray that you'll take advantage of that, but be in God's Word. If you want God to change things in your life, get into His Word, and I guarantee you, He'll transform you. The second thing is this, something that 2017 brought us, which we have seen do some amazing things, is this discipleship experience that is called Rooted. Some of you have heard it, and some of you might be saying like, you know, oh man, it's another one of those programs. It's really not. It's not your basic Bible study. It's not just your, you know, regular small group. It is a discipleship experience. And some of you have been followers of Christ for a long time, and maybe you just know that this next year you need a spark. You need something to get you back on track. Or maybe, to be quite honest, there's a verse in the Bible that says that we're supposed to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And you guys all know what a spur is, right? It's a sharp kick in the behind, okay? And some of you need a sharp kick in the behind to get it going and to get growing. And if that's you, if you know that that's you, if you need a spur, okay, if you need something to get you moving, then that's what Rooted is all about, okay? It's all about taking us at this place and saying, hey, we want to continue to be more fully devoted to following Jesus Christ and to be disciples, okay? Not just church attenders, okay? I mean, we're glad you're here, but you know what? We don't want to just take up space. We want to be disciples of Jesus, following Him and learning to passionately live out our faith. And that's what Rooted is about. It's not about like just learning more information. It's really designed for transformation and helping us live out our lives as followers of Jesus. And so right over here by the table, right over at the corner, there's a place where you can sign up. And I hope that all of you, whether you've been, you know, whether you're still checking out faith, that's a great place to go. Or if you've been a believer for all your life, you know, I don't know how long, that Rooted would be a place where this year you can dive in and kind of get that boost and that spark to continue growing in your life. So I just encourage you to do that. So find places to encounter God daily. And I think then your year is going to be amazing. The next thing is building community. That's a huge thing for us, because one of the things that I was reading, I kind of read an article on what are some things that will help you make sure that you achieve your New Year's resolutions. Do you know what the number one thing on the list of making sure that you achieve your goal or your New Year's resolution? You know what number one on every list I read was? Find a partner. Okay? Find somebody who's going to do it with you, right? I mean, folks, we aren't meant to do this faith thing alone. That's why God created the church. And so we pray that you will help find a place of community where you're growing together. We pray that, you know, Rooted's a great place to start. Get into a life group, somewhere where you are growing together, seeking God's word, and encouraging each other. If you're going to read through this thing this year, I would encourage you, find somebody else. If it's a family member or a friend, someone in a life group, or just find somebody who's going to do this with you, so that each day you can say, hey, you know, what did you read that? Hey, what did you think? You can ask questions together, dive deeper together, encourage each other, but find somebody. Because we were designed for community. And so my prayer is that you'll find that this year. Maybe it's finding a place to serve this year. Maybe some of you have been attending church for a long time. And to be quite honest, you know what? God didn't create us to just be church attenders. He created us to be the church and to be people who will serve, and that the body would grow as you use your gifts and abilities. There's all kinds of places in the church family that you could grow. If you have no idea where to serve, then you know what? Talk to myself, talk to Curtis over there at the door. I mean, one of the greatest places is start out just being a greeter on Sunday mornings. You'll learn everybody's name, okay? But find a place to serve this year and to join into the community. And the last thing is this, extend compassion. My big prayer, if we're going to be fully devoted followers of Christ that seek and save the lost, is who are you seeking? You know, who is it this year that you passionately want to be praying for and asking God to give you opportunities to share faith with, so that you can bring somebody else in to the family of God? You know, and my prayer is that you will do that. You'll extend all of that love and compassion that God has had on us and extend it to others. We have lots of ways that you can do that. We're going to have a serve day again in March. We'll have mission opportunities. We have an opportunity for those of you who might want to kind of really dig in. You can see that there's a globe over here on a big bucket. And thank you, Linda Panaro, for your artwork. That was amazing. We've got a team that's heading to Ecuador in South America this year to work with churches. I got to tell you, it will change your life. Okay, that's another thing that can really help you grow. And if you're kind of feeling God's tug on January 14th, right after church, we're going to have an information meeting, and I hope you'll join us and say, "Hey, maybe that's what God's calling me to." If God's calling you, it says, "Hey, press on to what God has called you to." Right? And press in, lean into what God is drawing you to this year. Because whatever 2017 was like, then you know what? God wants more for you in 2018. You know why? He is a gracious, giving, providing, awesome God who has your best interests in mind. Do you believe that, church? God has so much more for us. As a church family. And I believe God is going to do powerful things for us in 2018. I'm looking forward to seeing all the things that God is doing, all the lives that He's changing. And I'm just praying, and I want you even right now to start thinking about a name. Somebody that lives in our area, somebody that you know that needs Jesus. And my prayer is that your prayer will be this year that next year, because remember how fast it was till we got here from last year? Okay, things move quick. My prayer is that they're here next year. Okay? That we don't go another year with them just kind of wandering out there, devoid of faith, but that next year at this time, that maybe, just maybe, that you've been given the opportunity to share faith with them and that they've come to know Jesus Christ. And so that's going to be my big prayer for all of us is, could you imagine what it would look like if every one of us in here won one more for Jesus this year? I mean, wouldn't it be fun? You think we could fit a few more people in the room? I think so. I think it'd be pretty exciting. And I pray that that person who God's putting on your mind even right now, that they're here next year celebrating with us, because God is in the business of changing lives. Amen? And if God is in the business of changing lives, then guess what, folks? That's our business. And so we want to see God do some amazing changes in our lives, in our community, and that's going to happen simply through the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. All right, well, hey, I'm going to pray for us, and then the band's going to come up and sing. If you need one of these, go over there. If you want to check out the Ecuador stuff, you can even give for Ecuador. Sign up for Rooted. Do those things. Enjoy being together. Grab some more. There's somebody, please get rid of those donuts, okay? And then let's make 2018 the best year ever. So would you guys stand with me and just grab the hand of the people around your table? We're going to pray together. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come to you as your people, your family. And Father, we thank you for all that you've blessed us with. We thank you most of all for the indescribable gift of Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you, Father, for this last year, for the ways that you have provided and blessed us. God, we are just in awe of who you are. And Father, for the difficulties that we've come through, Father, we pray, God, that you would help us to know which things we need to put behind us, Father, and move ahead. Thank you for the lessons that we've learned. And Father, help us apply those things to next year. And Father, God, right now, I pray that you would put upon the heart and the mind of every person here, that person that they will just continue to pray for and to have opportunities to share their faith with, so that, Father, next year at this time, that person is here celebrating life in Christ with us. And Father, we thank you for this morning to celebrate and to enjoy and to just be together. Thank you that you're a God who changes and transforms things and a God who brings us together for our good, for your glory. And God, we pray you use us however you want to in this next year, that you would receive all the glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.